So Jared and I actually chose the that statue cast a pretty large shadow. So you actually can pray at 6:30 in a shadow and have like 15 degrees cooler. But Jared and I and a couple of others were out in the sunshine part. So I upped my penance game, bro.
Well, I got to ask you though. Now that shadow is cast by the beneficence of whom?
St. King Louis IX.
That's exactly the case. It is his goodness that protects.
It is his goodness. So I don't know. If you got a chance to hear any of what we've been talking about previously, but when I went there. When I went there yesterday, and I actually stood underneath that thing and saw it for the first time, and had not seen it, had only seen it in pictures, because people like in pictures. But when I went there and I actually stood underneath of it and saw it for the first time, then it started to make a lot of sense to me. By the way, our Crusader Stadium chat room is open and open for business today at crusadechannel.com/chat. So there is nothing that can compare to actually seeing that thing in person. Nothing.
It's truly amazing. I mean, having and you and I both, I mean, travel all over the world, seeing Catholic sites all over the place. This really is in the first rank of Catholic sculpture of demonstration of the faith in a public space. It's truly amazing, and it's been a blessing. I mean, we've been doing this since June, and it's been a real blessing to be able to participate with the St. Louis Forever Rosary Coalition in these prayers. I mean, today being the culmination of all of that, it's essentially a victory march.
It is.
A triumphal entry after the successful July 12th and after the original assault on June 27th. So today is a special day.
So it is a very special day. Dr. Robert Morgan, who is one of the organizers of the... So now it's... Zip and I were talking about that. What's the coalition that funds the park forever?
Forest Park Forever.
But now you guys have St. Louis Forever.
That's right.
With an emphasis on the saint part, St. Louis Forever, which now has kind of a life of its own here. Now, I will tell you, there were probably 50 intrepid, good Catholic souls on their knees, on concrete, praying a Holy Rosary, the Joyful Mysteries last night. One of the clerics came out in his cassock. He's not a priest yet. He's a cleric. His name is James. And he's actually traveled here for this event today. The only signs that were shown or banners of any sort were the ones that were brought by some of the St. Louis Forever people about America needs Fatima or America needs a rosary. And they held that sign up to anyone that passed by in between the statue of St. King Louis and the art museum. And we had some curious people kind of walk up and who were joggers or walkers or whatever, kind of walk up and stop and see, hey, what's going on? Why are these people kneeling on this scorching hot afternoon? It's quite a spectacle, I think, for people to see, and it's been going on since what, June the 27th, nonstop, right?
Well, before June the 27th, actually. That was when the other rosary event occurred. But they had already been out there a couple of days. I think it's the 20th, actually, was when they started. It might have been a full week. So there's been these sort of two events that occurred at the same time. But did anyone stop and pray last night? Because that's been a very usual occurrence, is that people will be going by, they're clearly going somewhere else, and they'll stop and pray with us for a few minutes and then move on.
I saw a couple of people pause, and one of your friends, the gentleman that comes out with his Australian Shepherd dog, showed us the picture of the guy that converted or reverted, Goliath.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is like 6'8", 350 pounds in a tank top and shorts, shaved head. So, you know, the big rumor that what the BLM wackos tried to start was that you guys were a bunch of white supremacist Klan member Nazis. So this guy shows up, and he would fit more into that category than anything. But he was just curious and apparently stopped, prayed, and then I guess either had a conversion or a reversion to the faith. I guess you know the story.
Oh yeah, reversion. He's he and his wife and son, very, very Catholic people. He's actually from South Texas. He's a couple generations, I guess. Well, I don't know how you'd call it, really. His family's been in South Texas before there was a South Texas.
Ah.
So he's I'm not going to give his last name, but he's Mexican ancestry, very proud of his Mexican ancestry, and fluent Spanish speaker, still has a lot of family down in South Texas. I mean, that's essentially their homeland, and he would be surprised to be called a white nationalist. He would be, but he's a very Catholic guy. He absolutely is not. He is not bear any hatred in his heart for anyone. He is the most gentle, lethal person I have ever met in my life. The guy is awesome.
No, let me clarify what I said then. He is what the BLMs describe as a white nationalist. So if anyone, when they conjure up an image of us and how evil we are, and they present this to the rest of the world, they're probably thinking about someone of this gentleman's stature, you know, how big he is, and with the shaved head and all. I didn't mean to say that he was, but I saw pictures of the guy. The guy, you know, he's smiling from ear to ear with everyone he's talking to.
Well, that's what I think part of this has been, is showing up out there. And then, you know, of course, on the 12th, we had an African-American. Actually, I don't know if she's African-American. She's black, and she may well have been African. I'm not sure. Nun leading the procession at one point. And, of course, Monsignor Morris, African-American. And, I mean, we go through the list, which I hate doing because this isn't like a, hey, look at what the, you know, colored people we've got. That's crazy. But people come out and they go, wait a second, how can these guys be white nationalists? How can these guys be? It just doesn't compute. And, of course, then there's those of us, you know, little older guys wearing Hawaiian shirts, and it's like, oh, my goodness, it's the Boogaloo. No, it's not the Boogaloo. I served in the Navy for 4 years out on Guam, man. We lived like this. I just adapted to the lifestyle. And there's a lot of us at the Rosary who are, you know, all prior service. Actually, interestingly, a lot of them were Navy folks, and we've served all over the world. And it's kind of a Navy thing, I guess, if you're an old ex-Navy guy.
It's a I've been trying to give the listeners a, as they say, 30,000 foot view here. So you have this square, Doc. I'm going to guess. Let's say it's 100 feet square. That'd be very generous. 100 feet on each side. Prior to this event, and prior to these maniacs. Now, first of all, there's a couple of things. When you actually go and stand at the base of the statue and look up at it and just marvel at the detail and at the grandeur of the statue, why anyone would want to destroy this piece of artwork, to me, is anyone that would have that design is truly evil. So let me leave that there. But you had this square that, previous to these events, was very open to the public. Anyone could walk right in. But the city, to its credit, put these ginormous 800-pound square, 4-foot square, cement block barricades there. You know, they actually have to have a cherry picker crane or something like that to get them off of a truck and then put them there. So you can't get in there. No one is backing up a back-end loader or a tow truck to throw a winch crane around. No one is getting anywhere near that statue with a motorized vehicle. It's the first thing that you know.